He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. Yes, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah! That's my king. That's my king.
Thank you. still my father. You'll always be my
father. Oh, yes, you will.
For all of time, you're
I want you to lift your hands to him. Say it again. Still Lord. How many of you glad he's still your Lord? Everybody wants a Savior, but I want him to be the Savior and Lord of my life, don't you? Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in service this morning? How many of you enjoyed service here last night? Did we receive a challenge from the word of the Lord? I believe we did last night. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's look at our prayer request this morning, if you will. I want to pray for the nephew of Sister Hamilton in Pennsylvania, who has a staph infection, and they're asking that we would certainly remember that prayer request. Also, I mentioned last night to you my sister Beulah over at Ivy Hall Nursing Home. She has got what they have termed to be MRSA, and just a serious infection in her body. If you would pray for her this morning. Sister Donna says we'd like for the saints to pray for her uncle, Fred Tester, who has lost both of his sons in the past 14 months. He needs strength and comfort, so let's remember that. Please pray for a job situation for Eric May, a co-worker of David Hayton. Also for Jordan, who isn't feeling well this morning, so let's remember those needs. Sister Linda Lawrence, suffering from swelling in her legs. We'll remember her in prayer this morning. Brother Jamie Hayton sends us in to please pray for a co-worker's grandchild. It was born 3 months early. The doctors are not sure about its survival. So let's pray for that child and that family this morning. Sister Brenda Jones said an unspoken prayer request for my son and my grandson. So let's remember that. Sister Jan Winters has a severe cold and congestion, needs the church to remember her in prayer, so let's remember that. Also, Brother Tracy, certainly want to continue to remember Brother Tracy in prayer. Sister Linda Babb will be having a biopsy on her thyroid tomorrow morning. We appreciate your prayers for a good report, so we just commit that unto the Lord. Here's a prayer request to please continue to remember Brother Tracy in prayer. Sister Sylvia Barham offers this testimony. About 2 weeks ago, we requested prayer for my Aunt Margaret Peters. She had surgery for cancer. Well, it says, praise the good Lord. The doctors say he got all of the cancer. There is no need for chemo or radiation. Thank you for your love and prayers. We love you very much. Also, Sister Sylvia has a situation on October the 18th. She'd like for you to be concerned and remember that request in prayer, that the Lord would just have his way in that situation. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need this morning, how many of you believe he's still Lord this morning? Can we sing that one more time before we pray over these requests? Brother Terry, if you'd get ready this morning. You're still Lord. You're still my Father. In little or much, I feel your touch. You're still Lord. You're still still my Father. You'll always be mine for all of time. You're still Lord. Amen. If you have an unspoken prayer request this morning, you'd like for this assembly to pray about, we know that we're serving a God that's more than able to meet the needs, don't we? Brother Terry, God bless you this morning. Appreciate you, buddy.
Heads, and when we pray, let's all join our faith together and believe for behalf of each one of these requests. Lord Jesus, as we come before you this morning, We count a great privilege, Lord, to be back in the house of God. We would just think maybe that's just a cliche or words, but truly it is a privilege to a believer to be back in the house of God. We have the privilege, Lord, to come and to worship you according to the dictates of our heart in the freedom of this land. Yet probably will be taken away at some point, but yet while we're here, we want to enjoy every minute that we have to be with you. Lord, I think about a song that a person wrote many, many years ago. It said, everybody wants to go to heaven, but few people want to go by Calvary. And Lord, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Calvary. And Lord, what you told us last night and the things that he said about the signs of a dead church, Lord, we don't want to, even our individual life, we want to be alive, we want to be vibrant, we want to be enthused, Lord, we want to be on fire, we want to be close to you. That's why we come to the house of God. We want to learn more about you, we want to worship you, we want to be part of the kingdom, Lord. And Father, this is our life, it's our love, it's our devotion, our passion, our outlook, our focus. It's all about Christ if we're truly been reborn and born into the kingdom of God. Meet among us this morning. Meet our needs. Speak to our hearts. Give us grace. I pray for these requests, Lord. The lady in Pennsylvania, I believe it was her nephew. You know the condition. I pray that you would just be with her and that nephew. I pray for Brother Tracy. God, just give him what he has need of. Sure, he's up in age, Lord, but you heal those that's up in age. Pray for Linda Babb going for a thyroid check. May she get a good report. And each one of these requests that I hold in my hand, I know, Lord, you're an ever-present help in a time of need, in a time of trouble. Be with our pastor. Give him safety while he's gone and enjoyment while he's away. And I pray, Lord, that you'll anoint Brother David this morning. God, let the manna that he brings to, of course, we believe it'll be a fresh manna, it'll be spiritual food in due season. Lord, you're the ever-present water from the rock. Give us that spiritual water that we won't have to thirst any longer. Give us, Lord, the things that we have need of that we can go from the building and say, it's really been good to be in the house of God. I really enjoyed being in the house of God. What better place could we be in your presence, Lord? The one that we have married, the one that we desire to live eternity with. Lord, we're in your presence this morning. Take the uppermost seat. Meet our needs. And we worship you and we give you praise. Every request I hold in my hand, those I did not mention, they've already been read. You know about it. We're looking for testimony that you healed and brought to pass. The unsaved loved ones signified by a raised hand. Lord, bring them in. Brood over them. The time is short. We don't know how much time we have left. But Lord, all that the Father has given me will come to me. Grant these things, Lord, we ask in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Terry. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting today with us in the service, we want to welcome you. All those that are streaming the services today, may God richly bless those folks as well. Let's sing a song this morning. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. I'm not rebuking anybody, but I just want to ask you a question because I'm asking myself the same question. If everybody's enthusiasm was like yours, everybody's desire to worship was like yours, everybody's zeal was like yours, what kind of service would we have this morning? How many of you want to get fired up and get something going for the Lord this morning? Do you want to with all your heart? I'm going to be honest with you. When I go to one of my grandson's ball games, they all know I've been there. When I come to church, I want Jesus on his video camera recorder. I want him to know I've been here. I want to give my all for everything that's going on here this morning. Don't you? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Turn around, shake somebody's hand and say this. Let's worship. Let's worship, guys. Let's worship. Play hard. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. Oh, when the storms of life are raging, stand by me.
When the world is torn,
on the sea,
oh, thou who rulest
Verse this morning. I want to dedicate it to somebody that's very special and dear to my heart today. Man's 94 years old and he makes his way faithfully to the house of God. Every chance and every time he gets the opportunity, Brother James Stamper is here. And I appreciate him, Brother James. I appreciate you with all of my heart. 94 years old, still got a zeal. Still got a desire to come to the house of the Lord. When I'm growing old and feeble,
stand by me.
Oh, that's right.
Stand by me.
Oh, when I'm growing old and feeble,
Lord, stand by me.
Let's sing a little bit that morning. Just before we change the order of the service, let's sing this. Let's help Brother Harry sing this. I'd love to hear him sing it. We'll help him if that's all right. The more I see you, the more. Could you do that? The more I seek you. Let's sing that just before we change this morning.
The more I see you. the more I seek you.
Say it from your heart, church.
The more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you. I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. I rest in your, it's overwhelming.
Now sing it to him.
The more I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you. Father, the more
somebody say praise the Lord. Could you give him one more hand clap of praise this morning? Oh, he's worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy this morning. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Well, I appreciate your participation this morning. You can be seated. Sister Sarah, if you'd come give us a song this morning. Brother David, if you'd come to the platform, get ready to sing after she sings this morning. We'll go right on into the service.
From strength to strength, we sometimes go, and then again we're sinking low. In the shadow of a mountain looming high above our head, we need not fear what lies ahead. For the Word has clearly said that our faith would be sufficient to make the mountain.
That separated me from Christ my Lord. It was so vast, the crossing I could never ford. From where I was to his domain, oh, it seems so far. I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where you are. He came to me, oh, he came to me when I couldn't come to where. That's why he died on Mount Calvary, when I couldn't come to where he was, he came to me. He came to me when I was bound in chains of sin. Oh, he came to me when I possessed no peace within. He picked me up and he gently drew me to his side, where today in his sweet love I now abide. He came to me. Oh, he came to me when I couldn't come to where he was. He came. That's why he died on Mount Calvary, when I couldn't come to where he was. He came to me.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You enjoy the singing this morning? Amen. Let's stand this morning. We have a late prayer request we want to let you know about this morning. Brother Jack Roberts is going to be having knee surgery this coming Thursday. And so we certainly want to pray for Brother Jackie that the Lord will just be with him. That's not a pleasant surgery. You will get through it. You will recover. As long as you do the therapy and don't slap your therapist, you'll be doing fine. But let's pray for Brother Jackie this morning. Brother David Siler is going to come bring us the word of the Lord, and I certainly appreciate our brother. A wonderful addition to our church family, the Siler family, wasn't it? We appreciate the Lord bringing him this way. And Brother David, all of our ministers here, just an extension of the ministry that goes forth week in and week out from this pulpit. And I, for one, want to say that I appreciate each and every one of you. Let's give the ministers a nice hand this morning. Praise the Lord. We certainly appreciate them. Let's sing a song this morning. You are encouraged. You are challenged. You are compelled to keep pressing on. That was about a week of amen as I ever heard in my life. We've got four that's going to press on. The rest of you are going to hang on to their coattail, let them pull you. How many of you feel like you've got to keep pressing on? Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give Jesus one more hand clap of praise. We're going to keep pressing on.
Go on, boy, why do you even try? Even if there's a rapture or heaven, you'll never make it in. I just say, hey, Satan, I'll prove you a liar again. I'm gonna keep pressing on and on and on, pressing. On and on and on, pressing on,
No matter what comes my way, I'm pressing. Let the devil do what he wants to. I'm going to press on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the book of 1 Kings chapter 19 this morning. Certainly want to welcome you to the house of the Lord and certainly tell you it's a privilege for us to be able to be here. Amen. I'm just looking for something good from him today. How about you?
Amen.
1 Kings chapter 19. We want to start at verse 1. Amen. How blessed we are today.
Amen.
You woke up this morning. You didn't wake up in a jail cell. You didn't wake up in a hospital bed. You woke up in your right mind. And you woke up to come serve God. Brother, what a blessed people we are. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah. You gotta be careful when the devil starts sending his messengers. He said, so let the gods do unto me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he had saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, is it enough now, O Lord, that you can take away my life? For I'm no better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and the cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came into him a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. I'd like to speak the Lord to help us this morning on your juniper tree. Let's bow our hearts. Your juniper tree. Heavenly Father, we love you today with all of our hearts, Lord. I pray now for these next few moments of time that you would help us just to lay aside everything of our lives. Lord, may we just, as it was, put our lives on pause. We shut our cell phones off. We quit thinking about everything that's going to happen this week and all the things that's going to take place. And now we come for this just little space of time, these few moments, to hear something from heaven. I pray now, Lord, as we surrender to you, Lord, I'm very much aware, if you don't come into this building and anoint us, Lord, and anoint these people, this service will be a mess. But if you'll come, oh God, you can do things David Siler knows nothing about. Lord, you can come and touch our lives, change us. We can leave here, Lord, with our fire high this morning. We can leave here, dear God, excited, thrilled about the Word of God. I pray, Lord, we come to take all of our problems, all of our heavy burdens unladen when we lay them before your throne now. Help us today, I pray, in Jesus Christ's name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord add the blessings to the reading of his word. You may be seated this morning. Your juniper tree. How many's ever been underneath one? Well, I'll just tell you, if you ain't never been under one, you're probably going to find one before this time is over. The story this morning is very familiar, and I'm thankful that it is, because being familiar, we can identify with Elijah. Sometimes I think God puts things in the scripture so that we can identify with him. Elijah, being such a man of God, a child of God, a seed of God, predestinated, elected, all those things, he was God's servant. And the story here is one of the greatest of the scripture. And this Elijah, I'll tell you, God loves the spirit of Elijah. He loved it so much he used his spirit five times. And every time the spirit came, it done the same thing. There was a burden that came with the spirit of Elijah. There was something about the spirit of Elijah, as God would use that spirit in such a special way, that weariness came with the spirit of Elijah. Even depression came with the spirit of Elijah. Nervousness comes with the spirit of Elijah. And we know that that God loves it, because Brother M said that the spirit of Elijah is the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now don't try to figure that out. That's just what he said. And we know that Elijah, in the previous chapter, chapter 18, there's no greater scripture in the Bible that you can read on how that God can so make a fool out of the enemy. How that the enemy had came and they had come against God's servant. And God's servant
wasn't even swayed by the enemy's threats. He wasn't swayed by what the enemy said they was going to do. As a matter of fact, Elijah was outnumbered. There was a lot of voices of accusations that came against Elijah. There was a lot of troubles that came against Elijah. And Baal had 450 prophets. And every one of them was anointed. They was, as we would say, the most anointed. And how proud, oh my, no doubt, that the enemy was so proud of these men on what they could do and what they could accomplish. But what they don't understand is, if God ain't for you, you got some problems. But Paul said, if God be for you, I don't know how many prophets of Baal can be against you. And here Elijah, oh my, Elijah had spoke to these men and told them that do whatever you want to do. And Barak tells us on how that these men took the altar and they jumped up and down the altar and they broke the altar down. But brother, let me tell you, the ministry of Elijah is always to rebuild the broken down altars. But don't be discouraged if your altar comes broken down and you can't pray through and you say that you can't find God. Elijah can restore the altar because Elijah is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ and he cares about your broken down altars. I have been preaching for the last year and a half to 2 years on people that's broken, people that's down, people that's discouraged. And the Lord has just keeps filling my spirit up with this. Ever since I've been on the field, it seems like the Lord just keeps using this and he keeps moving me that way. And I'll tell you, friends, people in our message are so discouraged. People are so down. They're despondent. I preached at a church the other day where not one person said amen the whole service. And people are weary. They don't know what to do. This world is driving them insane. Brother and sister, you must have a place to let off the pressure. You've got to have a place to run to. You've got to allow God to rebuild your altar. Elijah told these men, you do whatever you want to do. And the sacrifice lay there. And he began to ask him, he said, how long will you halt between two opinions? Let me just ask you, how long will you halt between two opinions on whether God can restore this altar or whether you have to live with broken down altars in your lives? These men, they called and there was no answer. You can't expect to call on a dead God and a dead God to answer you. What a shame for these men to be serving a God that's dead, a God of brick and mortar and clay. And it showed the spirit of the enemy that they begin to cut themselves. They begin to cut themselves, which is the same thing that Legion did when he was underneath that same spirit. Naturally, it runs in the supernatural. Even the religious realms, there's no worse spirit than a religious spirit. Well, if you're worried about being religious, you've come around the wrong message. We don't want to just be religious this morning. Hallelujah. We don't want to just know it by knowledge and know it because we come here. We need to understand I serve a God who can rain fire down if he needs to. Elijah stands there. And when Elijah called, God answered. For David said, if you call, I'll answer. He's a God that answers our needs. He's a God that answers our problems. He's a God that comes on the scene for his children. And God come down, consume the sacrifice. Hallelujah. I'll just say this, the sacrifice was brought there for the repentance of sinners. And God consumed their sacrifice. Remember, they just poured water on there and filled the trench up. Because God likes to go overboard sometimes to prove how good he is. He don't want just the well half full. He don't want the well just about three quarters. He wants the well overflowing. He wants to remove all doubts. Amen. He wants to remove all unbelief to let you know, if you ask, I'll answer what you have need of. Elijah, on fire for God. Holy Spirit moved when he asked. My, what more can you ask for? moving under the anointing, moving under the inspiration, moving with passion. Hallelujah. Elijah was a man that was passionate about his belief. He was passionate about serving God. What are you passionate about this morning? What consumed your heart? What consumed your life this morning? What must it have felt like to stand there and look at that altar and watch God's fire begin to rain down? What must it have done to Elijah to know when you called, I was there to answer your need? When you asked me, I responded. Elijah began to move. Elijah's God's vindicated prophet. Elijah come on the scene, and let me tell you, Elijah called. And when Elijah called, our God's ready to move. Hallelujah. And could you imagine what it felt like when fire falls on the sacrifice? And that man stood there, and what he had said had been vindicated. The words that come out of his mouth has now been vindicated. This man has been used of God in such a great way, only to find him in the very next chapter, down, weary, discouraged, depressed. How can a man go from Mount Carmel to the valley so quick? How can a man be used of God so great, only to find himself down, discouraged, and blue? How can you go from such a spiritual high where it seems like the power of God is moving? He's answering your prayers. He's there. My, you feel his presence every day. You pray. He comes into your prayer closet. You begin to read the scripture. He begins to speak to your heart. What must it have felt like for God to move so much to get to this place where Elijah is so far down now? And let me just say this right here. You don't have to be a prophet to get to this place. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a deacon. You don't have to be a teacher. It affects every son and daughter of God. Discouragement, depression, darkness, weariness can affect every one of our lives if we're not careful. Amen. Now, I know what we do when we hear these things. We tend to draw up and act like, well, I don't even know what you're talking about. I mean, I never go through stuff like that. I ain't never had worries. I ain't never had trouble. I've never been down. I know how we are. We want to sit and look super spiritual as though we never go through nothing. There's something wrong with you. But if you never go through dark times, there's something wrong with you. If you never go through seasons of weariness, there's something wrong with you. The only person that the devil doesn't bother is his friends. If you are not impacted by the devil, there's something wrong with your experience. He sold you a lie, brother. I've come to be very honest with you today. You don't have to live with these things. Amen. My God is the best evictor you've ever seen. He can evict the devil right from your life. What if I told you that tomorrow morning there's going to be depression devils, weariness devils, dark spirits in Satan's unemployment line? What if I told you there's going to be some long-faced, weary spirits crying because they got booted out of your life? The reason I deal with this is because we get to the place, we have great, can I be very honest with you? And the Lord just put this in my heart to say today and to say to you, and I don't maybe know you and what you've been going through, what troubles that you got, don't want to know, ain't nobody slipped me no twenty to tell me your business. But let me tell you something, we have great services in this church. The Holy Spirit falls in our services. Amen. There's great worship. The presence of God comes out and he drops down and he's with us and you know he's here. But for some reason, we can't hold on to it very long. We can't hold on to it. If the enemy loses the battle and he can't keep you from getting here, and he loses the battle and he can't keep you from breaking through, what he'll do is, as soon as you walk out that door back there, he'll rob you for what you got while you was in here. If he can't keep you sitting there down, if he can't keep you from getting here, he'll make sure he robs you just as soon as you leave. We have all heard preaching about preparation, being ready, reading your Bible, praying, being ready for service, asking God to help us. We are all talented and we can all quote it verbatim. But brother, the problem we have is after we leave here, how the enemy comes against our homes, how he comes against our families to rob us of what God's done for us. Preach, Brother David. I know I've been guilty of it myself many times. Amen. There's times we leave here, we're on such a spiritual high that your feet ain't even hardly touching the floor. Amen. We're thrilled. We're excited about it. We're thankful for it. Only to get outside, take your life off pause, turn your cell phone back on, and have a text message from somebody that robbed you of everything you got while you was in this service. It's waiting for you outside these doors. You don't understand what happens when you leave this building today. Satan is waiting outside those doors. Satan is waiting to discourage you. He's waiting to rob you. Until our minds are so bumbled and so confused that we forget what God had just said to us while we was here. Amen, somebody. God can anoint the sound leader. God can anoint the preacher. God can anoint the musicians. And you can leave here like you're walking on top of the water to only get outside to find yourself drowning in the very thing you're supposed to be walking in. Well, that's good preaching all by itself. We leave here walking on the water. Only every step we get back home, we're sinking down on Monday morning. Somebody in your work has a bad attitude or something's wrong in their family. And it begins to eat in and slowly but surely chip away at the blessing, at the revival that God's placed in your heart. And here's Jezebel. Here's Jezebel. And he tells Ahab begins to tell her, you should have seen Elijah. You should have seen Elijah. My goodness. You talking about anointed of God. You talking about a son of God. He stood up there on Mount Carmel. Oh my. As he took to these prophets, he told them, fill the water. Fill the ditches full of water. Dump water all over it. And my God is still consumed the sacrifice. And when your prophets failed, Jezebel, when your men failed, Elijah took the sword into his hand and he slew 450 prophets of Baal. What must it have been when Elijah got in the spirit and he took that sword to the neck of them false prophets? Oh, couldn't I say something there? Isn't it amazing what God's prophet, the spirit of Elijah, always takes the sword to the spirit of Satan's prophets and cuts their head off? He don't play with them. He don't pet them. He don't pay them around. He cuts their head off. Hallelujah! That's what we are to do when that old false prophet comes around you, telling you that you can't get past it, you can't get over it, you gotta live with it, you'll never be better, and you'll always be this way. You need to take your sword and cut the enemy's head off. He's a false prophet today! I don't wanna get ahead of myself, but I may not be able to stop Satan from sending those problems my way, but let me tell you, I can send them back. But Ram said, we can't keep the birds from flying over. But we can keep them from building a nest. Amen, somebody. Have you ever had a conversation with someone and Satan built a nest because of that conversation? Talking about somebody builds a nest in your mind about that person. And every time you see them, the only thing you can think of is that nest that's there in your mind. Amen, somebody. The problem is, we make mistakes by allowing him to do it. Yes, my. And you go to somebody and, oh my, I'm sure we've all been guilty of it before. And you ask him, he said, well, brother, but how you been doing anyway? Surely to goodness, you're smart enough now not to ask somebody that. Because pull up a chair and a box of Kleenexes, they're fixing to unload on you. And they're going to pull out their great big long list that they've had for 15 years and let you know every problem that's ever went wrong, every trial they've ever been through, every dark day they ever had. They're going to let you know everything that went wrong in their life. And you're fixing to learn about it. You're going to school. Honey, they got some issues. Amen. Amen. What's wrong with you? Oh, by the Lord, please don't tell me that. Well, I just been so sick. Yeah, they've been sick for years. They've been sick since they got off the Mayflower. They've been sick since old Yellow was a puppy. Woo, come on, somebody. They've been sick their whole life. They ain't never had a good day. They've never had a day where they was free. Never had a good day when they wasn't sick. Every day of their life, they just battle things. They go through things. If it ain't this today, it'll be something tomorrow, brother. You need to make sure what your confession is confessing the promise of God and not confessing what the enemy's done for you or what he's done to you has worked against you. And you sit and sit and sit. And the more they talk, the more you get discouraged. And the more they talk, the more you get weary. And before you leave there, you feel like you need a tetanus shot because, man, something's wrong. Hey, listen. We've all heard smiles are contagious. Well, let me just tell you something, Cupcake. Frowns are too. It's one thing to get down. It's one thing to get depressed. But when you live that way, when you live that way, every day you live that way. Every morning you get up, it don't matter if the sun's shining or what, you live that way every day. And you say, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever. And you say, Jesus Christ is Lord. And you know as good as I do, Lord means ownership, Lord means rulership. And you're telling us He is your Lord and you're living that way. Woo! Preach, Brother David, I think I'll have to. When you live that way, every day something's wrong. Listen, friends, we are going to battle if the church said amen. We will go through things. Amen. Everybody knows that. And God knows us. I said, God knows us. Look what David said in Psalms 103 verse 14. For He knoweth our frame. And He remembers that we are dust. And sometimes what we do is we forget what God remembers. Come on, somebody. He knows what I have to contend with. He knows what I have to deal with. Listen, He knows my frame. He knows my weakness. He knows my problems. He knows me. He knows what I'm made out of. But for some reason, there's times we don't want to tell anybody else what we're going through. We don't want to let nobody else know that we're going through a problem. We can be fighting all kinds of things in our lives, going through all kinds of things, but it's like somebody's going to think we're saved if we tell them that we're fighting weariness. And that ain't nothing but a trick of the devil. Well, I mean, you know, if somebody finds out that I've been discouraged, man, they're going to think I'm not even saved. They're going to think I don't even have the Holy Ghost. Listen, we all get there. It does not make you any less a believer. Just because you get down, just because you battle, doesn't make you any less a Christian. People think they're afraid it's going to make God look bad because they go through things. Woo! I worked hard on that, somebody. Help me now. They're afraid they're going to think God is weak and God can't do it. And if you get down, what's that person that you work beside? What are they going to say if they see you discouraged? What are they going to say if they see you depressed? He knows our frame. He knows that we're just dust. You know what I found out? There's some people that'll never go to an altar. I woke up this morning, it's come to my mind. There's some people, they'll never go to an altar. They'll never come up to get prayed for. They'll never make one move because they're afraid somebody might think that they got problems. Let me just surprise you a minute. You are dirt just like I'm dirt. You are tempted just like I'm tempted and every other man and woman in this building. We are tempted. We got problems. We got troubles. We got doubts. Amen, somebody. But we never make a move for God because we're afraid. Well, Brother David, I mean, I hold a position in church. What happens is the church finds out I had to go up for prayer. I'll tell you what they'll think. They'll know that you are made of frame and you got dust and you got troubles and you need help. Sometimes we need to ask God for help. It doesn't mean you're not saved. It doesn't mean you're not born again. It doesn't mean you're not a seed of God, a child of God, elected, predestinated. You're just as much predestinated after the trial as you was before the trial. It's under this atmosphere, in His presence, right where God's at, right where He's pouring out His blessings, right here under the atmosphere, it's where you can come and pour your complaint and your needs and your desires out before God, because He knows your frame. How does Elijah call fire out of heaven in one chapter and be so down and discouraged in the next chapter? All because of one woman threatening his life. 450 just threatened his life on Mount Carmel. 450 just told him how big of a loser he is and how many problems he's got and how much of a devil he is. Amen, somebody. 450 just told him that his God's dead and his God ain't nowhere to be found. 450 just told him that. Can you imagine 450 people in this church rose up and be told you that? Elijah act like they never even said it. Well, so be it. Believe what you want to believe. Say what you want to say. All I can tell you is keep pouring water, brother. Why you say, amen? Why stay here holding between two opinions? Let's find out. Because the God that answers by fire, He's God. This woman's threatening him. And when he threatens her, when she threatens him, it affects him so much. Just her words affects him. God, mercy. He's not in a lion's den looking a lion in the eye. Right? He's not down by a fiery furnace looking fire in the eye. He's not in the belly of a whale looking whale blubber all around him. He's not seeing that. Just the words. The words. Somebody get a hold of just the words of this woman. She never touched him physically. She just sent her dark words to him and it shut Elijah down. Hang on. It's not that it wasn't there before. It was just suppressed. Come on, somebody. It wasn't that it wasn't there before. We just have a way of suppressing things. We have a way of getting ready on Sunday morning. We have a way of walking in this building and acting like everything is just hunky-dory. And we can just smile and walk in here and we'll just put our hands in the air and hallelujah and glory to God and how good my God is and how wonderful. And inside your life, you are a ball of nerves worrying about the bills, worrying about everything in your life, worrying about your kids ain't serving God. You're worried about and you're so down and depressed. But boy, on the outside, we look so holy, so pious, so righteous. Sometimes we suppress things. We around the message because of all the do's and don'ts that we think we know. We create professional Christians around our message. Amen, somebody. I know I preach to them. We've created professional Christians. We know all the right things to say. We know all the right quotes to use. We know what pictures to have on our walls. We know everything to say. We know all the message crochets. And we get everything right on the outside. On the inside, we are so full of things, so full of problems, and we don't want nobody to know. How would you like to know you came to this building carrying something, burdened down with something, and leave here carrying the thing when God is begging you, Elijah, to let God repair your altar? You ever took a ball in water and tried to hold that ball down underneath the water that's full of air? You ever tried that? What happens is that ball pops right back up. Amen, somebody. Hang on. We fixing to pop something up right here. Just like that. Have you ever got there? You put a ball under the water. And it's everything you can do to hold that ball under the water. But sooner or later, when you let your hand off of that ball is going to pop up to the top of the water.
And many times we come to the house of God week in and week out, and there's times that you can't shake loose, and my, you start there's times we start tasting just a little bit of freedom, a little bit of victory over that thing, and all of a sudden, that thing pops up in our life. And that ball is what I come to get this morning. That ball is what I'm after this morning. I'm here to let you know you don't have to live with that thing popping up and smacking you across the face every time you try to get freedom, every time you try to get deliverance. You don't have to live with it. Amen, somebody. Every time you start into revival, something pops up. Every time you start getting a little bit of joy, something pops up. Listen, we can act like an ostrich and bury our head in the sands and act like everything around us is just hunky-dory. We don't have problems. I'm in the message. I never have problems. I never go through things. We got them. Trust me. I said we got them. As I told you here a while back, I preached for a church just a couple of weeks ago. I preached for a church whose boy that this woman had, he was 12 years old, went to his room and shot himself in the head right around the ranks of our message. In the message, a boy that heard the quotes. But the enemy talked him into taking his own life. I'm talking about right here around the good old message of the hour. Depression don't care how old you are. Depression don't care how young you are. Depression don't care what your name is. He don't care what church you go to. He don't care nothing about you. Satan never cares what he destroys. Weariness will rob you. It'll pressure you. Amen. Tiredness will rob you. Look where Elijah's at. He's a man of God. He's a man of faith. He's God's servant. He's been used of God. He's God's prophet. He just confronted 450 devils. But he's running at the sound of the voice of one woman. All she did was send her word. He wasn't standing in front of her when she snapped her fingers and popped her neck around. Amen, somebody. He didn't see her put her finger up in his face. He never saw nothing. All he heard was the words that she said about him. Because there's times that things are said about us, it impacts and affects us. There's too many times we allow Satan to captivate us by threats. When I read that this week, I couldn't hardly believe what I found. Satan threatens us the same way that Jezebel threatened Elijah. The threat is, you'll never get past this. You'll always deal with this one way or another. You'll always be this way. This is just your problem. This is your trial. This is what you'll have to deal with. And Satan will threaten you when you come to church week in and week out. And Satan will say, yeah, you're here, but where's your children at? And he'll threaten you, say, your children ain't never going to give their heart to God. Your boy ain't ever going to serve God. I know what I'm talking about today. Your family, they'll never be right. They'll never come back. They'll never act right. He'll tell you parents that's sitting in the church this morning. He'll tell you that the kids are sitting here. They care nothing about God. They care nothing about serving God. And as soon as they get an age, they're leaving here and never coming back. And he'll threaten you. You'll never have peace of mind like you need. You'll never have joy like you're supposed to have. The enemy threatens us. Amen. These threats, friends, you realize they didn't mean nothing to Elijah when he's on Mount Carmel. But it's when you come off the mountain, these things impact us. When you come off that mountain and you're tired and you're weary and you've done everything that you know to do and you've asked God to help you, that's when it affects us. To be weary means to have your senses blurred. When your senses is blurred, your perception's off. You see things, but you're not seeing it right. Woo. And if we're not careful, we start judging things by what we see with our blurred perception. And those things ain't right. Those things ain't holy. Amen. We start thinking, because our perception gets off, well, there ain't nobody at that church likes me. Nobody cares about me. Nobody loves me there. I don't even know why I even keep going. And every once in a while, something strikes you and you decide, hey, I'm tired of this thing. I'm tired of it. I don't care if anybody loves me or not. I'm going to the house of God. I'm not there for them. I'm there for me. You finally realize I'm not living with that weariness. And I'm going to walk out of this thing. I mean, I'm tired of it. and you get up and you step onto your treadmill. And I'm tired of this. I'm walking out of this thing. And you're on that treadmill, man. You're going 90. I mean, I'm leaving here. I'm getting out of here. I'm tired of this. And if walking don't do it, I'm out of here. I'm getting out of here. And that treadmill just keeps going round and around and around and around. And the devil's laughing so hard and his stomach's hurting because he's watching you say it with your mouth. But in your heart, you're not really being honest. Get on that treadmill. You just keep going round and round and round and round. And you're working as hard as you can. Man, you're sweating. I mean, you're sweating. I'm tired of this. Bless God. I'm done with this. And you just keep working, but you ain't going nowhere. Just being fed up don't help. Put that fed up into action. Amen, somebody. Faith that was once delivered to the saints. Look at Elijah the prophet who stood on Mount Carmel that day and called fire down out of heaven. God rained out of heaven that the same day and then run out into the wilderness. Now watch the problem. After the inspiration left him. Brother, when you stand in this pulpit, you feel as bold as a lion. You're just begging the devil to show up. But when this inspiration leaves, I've had some great meetings overseas. And I mean just wonderful things God has done. Watch God heal. Watch God save. Watch God deliver. Watch people come to the altar by hundreds to get on the airplane and be so down and so weary and so discouraged. And you come home and yeah, you're thankful to be home, but something's wrong. Because when the inspiration leaves and you've seen God do all of this and you ask yourself, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do now? What can I do now? You ain't nothing but just dirt, calcium, potash, magnesium, just dirt. When the Holy Spirit comes in, there's anointed. And the power of God can come and move down. But when it leaves you, oh my. Brother Ram said after the inspiration left him with the threat of a Jezebel, ran out in the wilderness and wandered around there for a wilderness for 40 days and nights and God found him. Oh, I love that. You might run, but my God knows where you're at. Brother, my God's got GPS. I ain't nothing like anything this world has. He knows where you're at. He knows where you're going. He knows where you've been. He can meet you when you get there. Amen. And God found him. You may be down, but God can find you this morning. What is out here? Jezebel had polluted the land. Elijah's nerves had been on a strain. He's performed great miracles, done signs up on the hill to prove that God was still God and could answer by the way of a miracle. What did it bring a result? A threat for his own life. And that's where Satan tells you, you ain't doing no good anyway. What did it bring? Instead of a universal revival, it brought a threat on his own life. And Jezebel, when Ahab told her the thing, she said, may the gods do unto me more if I don't cut his head off by this time tomorrow night. And when this come to Elijah got scared to death. You see what happens when you leave the presence of God behind? He allowed fear to come upon him. And Elijah, who was trying with a heart in him of God, trying to show the people, as I hear, that God was still God. It had backfired on him. But there ain't nothing worse when you're trying your best and it backfires. There ain't nothing worse. There ain't nothing that discourages you more when you're doing everything you can to do what's right. And when you get done, everything that you've done backfires on you. It backfired on him and run out into the wilderness when he heard it. And there he laid under the juniper tree, trying to find consolation. You better watch it after your Mount Carmels. He's talking to you. You're going to have a juniper tree. Whenever a man has a blessing and the power of God pours down and does something for you, look out. Look out! Satan's on track. Just remember the next day, that Monday after a good service on Sunday, it's going to be a hard thing. And then we get halfway through Monday and we're thinking, man, what in the world? What in the world's going on? I'll tell you what he's doing. He's trying to take away what you got yesterday. It's going to be a hard thing because he's going to do everything he can to knock that confidence out of you that the Holy Spirit instilled into you the day before. Elijah was weary. Woo! Is he a son of God? Yeah. Is this a prophet of God? Do you mean to tell me a prophet of God can get weary? Brother, if he can, what about you? What about me? Elijah was weary. He was feeling blue. Just feeling blue. And then Jezebel put this threat that almost throwed him into a nervous breakdown. What's Elijah do? Runs. What do we do? Run from it. The very thing that you should stand up against, we run from it. Elijah, in his mind, his senses are so blurred, his perception is so blurred, because he's worried, he's blue, he's discouraged. He thinks, I'm done. I'm done. I've done everything I know to do. I tried to serve God with everything that I got, but I'm finished. Then the problem is, oh, don't miss this. The problem is, it wasn't that God didn't do something for him. It's just this stage of his life is done. I said that stage of your life was done. What more can God do? When you watch God call fire down out of heaven, you stand there and call it down. I mean, what more can God do? He's peaked. It's time to turn the corner. But before he gets around the corner, Satan brings all this weariness and discouragement on him. And he can't see it. So after service is over, look what happened. He gets down. He's so low. His prayers, Lord, won't you just kill me? Brother, if somebody knows you've prayed that before, you'd be so ashamed to know that you've laid in your bed and said, God, won't you just take me before the sun comes up in the morning? But you're not a son of God if you pray that. Hold on now. Elijah said, why don't you just take me? Just kill me. I ain't no good for nothing. I ain't no count. You see how the enemy will do you? Lord, just let me die. I ain't no better than my fathers. I ain't no better than those that went before me. Why don't you just let me die? Isn't it amazing how that Satan loves to attach that spirit with the depression, death? Elijah, what you don't know is this. I hear you praying this. I hear you saying this. But Elijah, what you don't know is you are going to take a rapture. What he don't know right now is what God's fixing to do for him in just a few days. He can't see it. He don't know it. He's so down, so weary. He don't realize in a few days there's going to be a flame of fire come out of heaven. Amen! Pick him up and rapture him off the face of the earth. Brother, you may feel down, you might feel discouraged, but don't you give up. There's a chariot of fire coming for the bride. Hallelujah! Don't give in! Don't give out! Don't give up! There's a chariot coming for you. We're living in days of trials, days of tests. But brother, don't you give in. Because what you can't see is there's a promise coming down your dusty road. I'm telling you, there's a promise coming. If you're depressed today, let me tell you, there's a promise coming. If you've been weary in the last few days, let me tell you, there's a promise coming. If you've been down, discouraged, and darkness has come across your mind, don't give up. There's a promise coming. God promised me in His Word, I will not leave you comfortless. He said He'd be there. You may not know He's there, but He's there. My God's been there. David got down like this. And David said in this Psalms 139 and 8, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. Shouldn't that help us to know how high you get, your God allowed it. And know how far down you get, your God is there beside you. And here's Elijah running, trying to get away from everything. Oh, I mean, just to get away from everything. You ever felt that way? You want to get away from everything, everybody, every problem, every trial, everything that's wrong. I just want to get away from everything. And we think a few days in Gatlinburg is going to fix that problem that you've had for 6 months. And if I could go down and lay on the beach down in Florida, I'm telling you, all my problems would wash right away at the water. They'll be there when you get back. Don't learn to live with it! This is what he gave me to tell you. Don't learn to live with it. People that's got handicaps, brother, they learn how to live with them. But you don't have to learn how to live with depression. You don't have to learn how to live with weariness. You don't have to learn to live with these things. Not when you're serving deliverer this morning. Elijah runs until finally he gives out. And he looks, and there's a juniper tree. The juniper tree, as it blossoms out, its great limbs is hanging way low. He thought, I know what I'll do. I'm going to climb up underneath these limbs. I'm going to lay down. And I pray God takes me on. I hope I never come out from underneath it. Amen. Elijah crawls under that juniper tree. And Brother Ram says it like this. Elijah lays down. He lays down, and just as soon as he lays down, he falls asleep. You ever wondered why that when you wake up some days and some weeks and some people go through it months at a time, you can't get no strength? Where's my strength going to? Where's it all? I don't understand. Every day I wake up, I'm just tired. I wake up tired. At noon, I'm tired. When I go to bed, I'm tired. Every day, I'm tired. I sleep 10 hours, sleep 9 hours, sleep 12 hours. I'm tired when I get up. It's because you don't realize being in a spiritual warfare, how this affects this clay, this dirt. You're dealing with the rims in a warfare, Brother Larry, of the supernatural, trying to deal with it with natural reasoning and natural ideals and natural thinking. And we go to Walmart and we buy vitamin A, B, C, D, F, G, X, Y, Z, L, M, O, P. We get done. All right. I'm tired. I'm weak. I'm going to start taking vitamins. That's what I need. Vitamin D. Vitamin D helps everybody. Vitamin C. Vitamin G. Oh, I'm better now. Boy, I praise God. I feel good now. Hey, man, you don't feel no different than you did before you took them. I got coached listening to the radio the other day that we don't take enough vitamin D. I called my wife. I was on my way to preach convention. On my way, I called her. I said, hey, order these vitamins for me. I need vitamin D. We order them. They come in the mail every day. Plup, 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 plup. How do you feel? No different. No different. I know there's some vitaminists around here that, woo, they're about like millennialists. They just believe in it. Hey, no doubt it's probably doing something I can't see. But what I really want is, I want super vitamins. Yeah. That when you take them, you go from feeling like this. And you don't need a super vitamin. You need a super God. Glory to God! Hallelujah! You don't need something in a bottle. You need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen! You need God to move on you. Hallelujah! Everybody's looking for that edge. Looking for that edge. Looking for that edge. I'm telling you, I got more than the edge. I got the God that created the moon. The God that created the sun. The God that created this world. He's a super God. Hallelujah. And Elijah falls asleep. And I imagine on every limb. Now you're asleep. And sometimes when you're asleep, God's got something going on. God's got something going on. When you're trying to find a place of rest, God's got something going on. And God sent 10,000 angels to that juniper tree. What are you doing? And God's got angels all around you. They're all around. You can't see them, but they're here. You may not know it. They're in this building this morning. They're walking up and down the aisles. They're standing around the walls. They're in the back. They're in the nursery. They're in the pulpit. Angels of God are here. I imagine every limb all around through the place was swarms. Swarms of angels. And God descended from heaven with a shout. I mean, come down. And he said, my poor little tired servant. I want to say this while I'm thinking about it. God did not try to correct Elijah. He didn't condemn Elijah. He didn't point his finger and say, you are to know better than this. You're a servant of God. You're a man of God. You know better than to tell people you're weary. You know better than to tell people you're down. No, that's what the enemy's done to our mind to try to make us live with it. Amen. My poor little tired servant. He's so nervous and tore up. Those words, I understand. He don't know what to do. He's been there. I want to pick out the angel standing here that's got the softest hands. Don't you scare him. Don't scare him. Walk over and stroke his brow right easy. I want the best cook you got among you. Time out, God. Conference. He's discouraged and you're thinking about food. I want the best cook you got among you. Go up there and get all the vitamins that you can find. Man, I wish I'd remembered that was in there. Put it in his cornmeal. You know what that means, don't you? God's going to hide something supernatural right behind something natural. Thank you, Lord. The world's turned him down, but I'm going to treat him right. He always does, doesn't he? Bring forth the best that we got. Cook him a corn cake. Set him down with water. And this soft-handed angel went over and stroked the little servant of God on the brow. And remember, if you've done your best, God still got those angels. Brother, they didn't just go to nowhere and just out here in the middle of nowhere and they just left the scene. If they ever was here, God still got them. And they still obey His orders. He loves you just the same as He loved Elijah. Would you not like to have seen when Elijah woke up and rubbed his eyes and seen an angel cooking? What would it have meant to you when you wake up underneath that juniper tree and you pull that limb back and there's an angel out there just cooking corn cakes on a Coleman lantern stove? Man, I know I've been under pressure, but my Lord... He rubbed his eyes and seen an angel cooking on. He stroked his brow. Watch this. Elijah woke up and may I hear him say something like this. The Lord your God who loves you. What's the angel telling? God loves you. What would you think if God sent you an angel this morning and spoke to you by the word of God and said, your God loves you. I only sent those signs for a witness in that day of judgment. Watch this. You've done your best, Elijah. I've sent those signs for a witness that in the day of judgment that you stand alone. You just done as I told you to do. And isn't it amazing? Him doing what God told him to do got weary. Doing what's right. Did not Paul say to watch out because you can become weary and well-doing? Doing things that's right, living right, trying to live right, trying to do things right. You can become weary doing the right things in the Word of God. I know you're tired and weary. And the Lord God, the creator of heavens and earth, has sent me to feed you this bread and water. Elijah, rubbing his eyes, little frail shaking hands took a hold of the bread to eat it. And just this then, a great angelic choir come out, formed a little panoramic around him and began to sing the songs like no mother could coo her baby to sleep. And God let him go to sleep again. The father turned around and said, you know, I love you so much. The journey's great. He's got a lot to go through yet. I'm not through with him. So I'm going to feed him. I must feed him again. So they called the angels and dumped in another bigger bundle of vitamins and cooked up another corn cake. Brother, he was full of corn cake and water. Man, I mean, he was full. He sent him a cruise of water. There's something about it when the angel touches you on the brow. It just barely, just gently, just rubs you across the eye. It's okay, Elijah. You're okay. Don't worry about it. You're all right. Don't be scared. The Lord sent me here. I'm here because you got need. I'm so glad. Here's Elijah. I'm so glad there's a juniper tree. When we get all wore and tore up, we can go under that juniper tree and find the spiritual vitamins to travel any kind of a trip. Brother David, I'm too big for that. I've done too many things for God. Bless God, I don't need it. Yeah, you will sometime. You're going to need a juniper tree. Elijah needed it. God had something he was wanting to do. Elijah needed to rest. Just rest. Don't get excited. Don't worry about it. Don't sit and fret and worry about all your problems. Everything's going wrong. How in the world this is going to happen? I don't know how that. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'm serving a miracle-making God. But Dave, you don't understand. There ain't no way. Yeah, there is a way. Didn't Abraham say, when I come up against the mountain and I can't get through it, can't get around it, can't get over it, God will open up a way and I'll walk through it. You just got to understand. God wants you to lay under that juniper tree. The juniper tree is for the real believer. And you need your place. You've got to have somewhere you can go. Somewhere you can go and find just a place just to just think. And sometimes just rest. His eagle eye got filmed over from tiredness, weariness. Let's bow our hearts. I've been very honest with you this morning. I've done my best to project to you what God has laid on my heart. I want to tell you this morning. What would it mean to you if you come to this building, not just to be at church, you come to get real with God? I mean to really get real with God. There's times we need it. There's times we need it. There's times you need to come here and allow God to move upon you. When Elijah couldn't help himself, God supernaturally took care of Elijah. He gave him a place of rest. He gave him a juniper tree. I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know what troubles you got. But there's just times you need that juniper tree. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what's coming next week. I don't know your past. Maybe you're weary. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you're troubled. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you're wore out. Maybe you're just tired of fighting. Maybe you're like me. You can't stand to see summer going. You hate the winter's coming and it's cold every morning. You just can't stand it. And it just causes you to be like the weather. Sunny one day and cold the next. Nice one day and down the next. Brother and sister, you may not be able to change where you've been. But I promise you this morning you can change where you're going. Because what's in front of you is so much better than what's been behind you. If you could only see through the eyes of the supernatural what God can do for you this morning. Come aside a while. Come and rest. Find your place under the juniper tree.
I feel so down and out. I feel so beaten and abused. I wish I had a tree like Elijah did. Where I could rest and gain strength from above. Give me a juniper tree.
Brother Harry, let's sing a song this morning, if you would. I feel like we all need that juniper tree. No matter where you're at, what your name is, no matter how long you've been in the message, there is going to be days you're going to have to find a place to rest. There's going to be mornings when you wake up and you think, I can't make it through this day. I cannot go through this day. I cannot go through this again. I'm telling you, come aside a while and rest. The more I seek you, the more I find you. Hallelujah. Find your place this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God.
The more I seek you.
You ever been there?
The more I find you.
There's friends in this building this morning. These are your brothers and sisters. They care about you. The Lord cares about you. He loves you this morning. Oh, let's just stand to our feet worshiping this morning. Hallelujah.
The more I love you.
Hallelujah.
I want to sit at your
yes, I do. From that salt-tainted angel. Let's just lift our hands and say, Lord, take me away this morning, Lord. Take me, Lord, I pray. Take me underneath your juniper tree. Take me to that place I can lay all my burdens, lay all my troubles down, lay all my problems aside. Oh, hallelujah. No matter how long you've been serving, maybe you've only been serving a few weeks, come aside and rest a while. Hallelujah. Jesus, one day, he crossed the sea. He was tired. He was weary. He went across the sea to find something. To find a place to rest a while.
The more I find you, the more I love you. I want to sit at your feet, drink from this cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace, it's overwhelming. The more I seek you, the more I Father, the more I love you. I want to sit at your feet, drink from this cup in your hand, lay back against you, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. Rest in your peace, it's so overwhelming. The more I seek you, the more I find you, the more. The more I love you, I want to sit at your feet.
That's the way it's got to be. Jesus, I need more. day let it rain. In my soul let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain.
My God ain't done yet this morning. I realize there's some that's scared to death. I'm scared you may leave here with what you come with. You don't have to. You don't have to. There's an angel in the building this morning. That salt-headed angel's come present. He's here. But you don't have to feel that way. Quit putting up. Quit living with. Ask God to help you this morning. Let's bow our hearts. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory be to God. Oh, Lord Jesus, how we love you today, Lord. Oh, God, I've done what you asked me to do, Lord. I stood, dear God, and spoke what you laid on my heart, Lord. I pray, dear God, I rebuke the enemy from this church. I rebuke the enemy from this congregation. Lord, from every individual here, I pray that when they would leave here, may the angels of God, hallelujah, may they accompany your children, Lord. We rebuke the enemy of weariness. We rebuke the enemy of discouragement. We call upon your name today, oh God. May the Spirit of the Lord, I pray, may he move on every soul. May he light every heart, I ask, dear God. May you grant it, I pray, Lord, every individual. May we leave here free, free. Oh God, oh praise be to God.
surrender all.
Oh, let's just tell him now. This is my heart.
I surrender all.
Just surrender to him now. The universal sign of surrender is when you raise your hands. You're telling God, my hands is off. I can't do it. So I'm raising my hands to let you do it. I don't have the answer to my condition, but you got the answer to it. We trust you, Lord Jesus. We trust you.
I surrender. Surrender.
Freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. I want to live.
Don't give up on it, friend. Don't give up on it. Let Him move in your life. Let Him move today. However He wants to move.
Somebody's watching my life. Everywhere you go, somebody's watching your life. Now everywhere you go, somebody's watching your life. So this little light, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine.
Oh, give it all you got now.
All your time.
Every believer now, with all your heart.
Oh, it's a little light of mine.
You know.
Yes, I've got to let it shine.
I'm gonna let it shine.
It's a little light of mine.
Oh.
I'm gonna let it shine.
Come on, somebody.
Shine, shine, shine. Oh, I said,
got a new home over in Zion, and it's mine, it's mine, oh mine. I've got a new home over in Zion. Heaven doors close, just before those heaven doors close, you know I'm gonna run to get inside those gates, just before those heaven doors close, oh, just before they name, just before they call my new name, you know I'm gonna run to get inside those gates, just before those heaven doors close.